Here's the bottom line. You can't take your stuff with you, but you can take people. And so storing up treasure in heaven means leveraging your time, talent, and yes, your treasure, so that more people know Christ, grow in Christ, and are with Christ forever. And Jesus is flipping our view of treasure completely upside down. Here's what he's saying, and I hope this sticks with you. In the world, we use people to get treasure. Unfortunately, that's how we do it. But in the church, we use treasure to get people. Maybe you feel like you don't really have a lot of money or stuff to share. But here's my point. All of us, rich or poor, have a biblical obligation to invest in spiritual relationships, to invest in the spiritual lives and the spiritual growth of others. You might not have cash to make some crazy investment opportunity, but let me tell you about some really good investment opportunities that I know you have, a relationship you can build with a younger believer. You can make Christ the center of your marriage and not just the center of your wedding day. You can parent your children in a way that aims for not just having good kids, but actually godly kids who know and love Jesus. Even if you're flat broke, you can make a big difference for Jesus. When you invite people to church and you share the gospel with friends and you pray for coworkers and family members and you make time for life-giving, Christ-centered relationships. Because remember this truth, people are the only treasure you can take with you into eternity.
Welcome to church. Would you stand with us? We are, as always, going to go into our time of worship this morning. But let's pray. Well, actually, let's go over our vision statement as a church and as individuals. It was up on the screen. There we go. You have to, the lights will come back. So this, if you're new here, this is a huge part of who we are as a church. Let's read it together. We desire to be a safe place to be in process. Place where everyone realizes they are in process. None of us have arrived. Guys, this is a place where you can come and say, hey, you know what? I don't have it all together, and I need help, because honestly, that's what everybody here has in common. We all need God's grace. So let's pray, and then let's worship together. So Lord, as we come into this place this morning, we just admit that we need your grace. We've all fallen short. We all have struggles. We need your help. Want to worship you. This is all about you, just lifting your name high, praising you for all that you've done, all that you will do, just putting a smile on your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's worship.
Great are you, Lord. Great are you, fails me, and all my tears have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Daily bread. You're there. Did you know that if you are a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit indwells you? So I'm looking at the dwelling places of God, right? Your holy presence living in me. If you are a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit resides in you. Wow, what a great thought to take with you this week. It's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. In Luke 24:49, he says, "But wait in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." And then jumping over to Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." Father, thank you for all these folks here today that have expressed the humility that they need your help, that we all need your help. Lord, you said that those that wait upon you shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, Lord, as we wait upon you today, we give you our stress. We give you our unforgiveness. We give you our anxiety about tomorrow. God, you said there'll be an exchange of strength. Lord, I just pray for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit, of love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And then you said in Ephesians 5:18, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we're desperate for you today, that in you we live and move and have our being, God. We've come to abide in you, knowing that you abide in us. Apart from you, we can do nothing of eternal value. So thank you, God, for each and every person today. And I just pray for an exchange of what's in us for what's in you. Friends, would you please be seated as we move into prayer time? And today we're focusing on Jesus being the light of the world. So that is the focus of our prayers. And again, I'm just giving you some things to pray about. You can pray about other things if the Spirit leads you to do that. But these are just some prayer points, and I want you to see that all the prayers are based on Scripture. The reason for that is if you pray God's Word, you know you're praying His will. So it's very powerful not just to read the Bible, but to pray it. So in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts." Let us pray. Lord, thank you for shining your light into our hearts and rescuing us from darkness. Help us to live in your light each day and remember the grace that you've given us. Let us pray. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others." Let us pray. Father, help us reflect the light of Jesus wherever we go. Use our words, our kindness, and our actions so others may see your goodness and glorify you. Let us pray. In 1 John 4:12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to love people the way you love them. Help us forgive, serve, and care for others so your presence becomes visible through our lives. Let us pray. Next, we're going to be praying for the open chairs. There's not many of them today, but think about the open chairs. They represent open chairs in heaven. And Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Let us pray. Lord, remind us that there are open chairs in heaven, in people who still need your light. Give us the courage to invite friends, neighbors, and families so that they can discover the life and hope found in you. Let us pray. Lord, we also want to lift up the people from our church that are in Belize. God, just protect them. God, use them for your glory. May your light shine through them in Belize. And may they come back, as so many as already have, just transformed and changed and be more devoted to you. So we lift up those from our church that are in Belize to serve you and to shine your light in this world. Would you join me in praying the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, there's a lot of things going on in our church family, so we're going to now watch the CCC News to learn what some of those are.
Hello, church. Welcome. I am super pumped that you are here. If it is your first, second, or third time here, make sure that you go ahead and grab one of those Connect cards. You probably were handed one on the way in. Fill that out. Turn it into the welcome desk for a gift. I think it's a mug with cool things inside. So I want one. So you should want one. You should go get one. All right. Anyways, let's get into the news because we've got so much news and so little time. First thing on the agenda is we have Easter coming up. If you didn't know, Easter is amazing. It's like one of my favorite services all year. We have got an Easter package, meaning we've got a bunch of different stuff going on that week. First thing that we want to make you aware of is that there actually will not be any youth services April 1st, that Wednesday. However, that Thursday of Easter week, we will have a Maundy Thursday service, which is basically a service celebrating communion. Then we will have a Good Friday service. Both of these are at 6:30 p.m. Maundy Thursday, 6:30. Good Friday, 6:30 here in the sanctuary. And then on that Sunday, we have three services, 7:30, 9, and 10:30. So you have three to pick from. Hope to see you at any one of those services, and it is going to be amazing. Also, we wanted to make you aware that we actually have a missions team in Belize. So if you think of it, you should pray for them. Lord, bless the missions team that is in Belize and give them favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next thing I want to talk about is actually right after Easter week, we have two amazing things coming up. Right after Easter, we have some classes, informational sessions, if you will, available on discovering CCC. Have you ever wondered, hey, what is this church all about? Maybe you are interested in membership. They are going to be available. Some classes are going to be available after Easter, so you can dig into all that information and get what you need.
also, after Easter, we are going to be starting a new sermon series called Hopeful Endurance. And the question is, what if comfort is not found in isolation, but in community? So, I just want to read this. This is a great description. In this new sermon series, starting April 12th, Hopeful Endurance, you will discover how God uses biblical community to strengthen us in seasons of suffering. Through the example of Jesus, the suffering servant, and Paul's thorn in the flesh, you'll learn how to endure hardship with purpose, grow in spiritual maturity, and stay anchored in God's love. That is going to be an amazing sermon series coming up right after Easter. Also, we have a baptism. Baptism is amazing. We've had just absolutely powerful baptism services on Sundays. That is going to be April 26th, so make sure you get signed up and let us know. If you need more information, you can talk to Tammy or go to the welcome desk. You can fill out the sign-up form that will be available on the website. But finally, keep your eyes on the screen because we have an announcement for an amazing men's group that's going to be coming up. So don't go anywhere and watch the screen. Thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Dan, and I'm with Men's Alliance. I am the tribe leader of Omega Tribe that is going to be meeting right here at CCC every Thursday, 7 p.m., out by the fire pit. Rain or shine. What is Men's Alliance? Check out this video.
Our motto is tribal, rugged, real, right? And what that means is we're tribal because isolation is terminal. So Men's Alliance exists to bring men out of isolation, out of their homes, close your laptops, and come join a tribe, right? And then rugged, because we want to get out of our comfort zones. Men today are just dying in comfort. We're the most comfortable society that's ever lived. And so we bring men out of their comfort zones physically and spiritually. And then real is the last part of our motto, because this is the kind of a group where you don't answer fine when somebody asks you how your day is going, right? We don't pretend we've got it all together at Men's Alliance. So that's why our motto is tribal, rugged, and real.
I spent a lot of time in the military, and I really enjoyed that bond with a bunch of brothers that were doing similar things and kind of in it together. Men's Alliance is absolutely the epitome of being in it together. We have a creed, and part of that creed is, I'm a common man with an uncommon desire to succeed. That's so true, but it has nothing to do with, oh, I'm going to go and get a promotion at work and I'm going to make more money. It means I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better teammate at work. I'm going to be a better son. I'm going to be a better man, and I'm going to absolutely be, or try to be, the man that God wants me to be.
Men's Alliance.
Amen. Hey, would you please stand and welcome those around you to church? Just say hello to someone. So the other day, I was wanting some family pictures, and I thought to myself, you know, they're in the crawl space, and so I went down our stairs, and in the basement, it was our crawl space, and I opened the door, and I remembered something. Let's just say I don't go into this room very often, but there was no light in it. So just try to picture me in the crawl space. It's like dark, and I'm trying to find something. And I still remember just kind of just experiencing that darkness. Now, most of us have experienced some sort of physical darkness. How many of you have ever toured a cave, you know, where you just go into your husband's garage and a man cave? No, just kidding. But you've experienced a cave, like I think there's one down in Harmony or something, and maybe it was dark and damp in that cave. Or maybe you're at home one night and all of a sudden the electricity goes off and it's pitch dark. We've all experienced Or maybe we're out walking some night and there's no lights and it's just dark. We've all experienced physical darkness, but there are other kinds of darkness as well. And if we're honest, we would all probably say our world seems to be quite dark right now. I mean, if you watch the news or scroll on social media or you listen to the conversations at work, there seems to be a lot of darkness in our world, and that's leading a lot of people to have anxiety. In fact, it's been said that we live in an age of anxiety, and many people, when they look into the future, there's a sense of anxiety. What's coming, and how will I make it? In addition, there's a lot of relational darkness. You know, as a pastor, I deal with this a lot, where there's like a wedge in the relationship, or maybe there's a wall, and things have been said to hurt one another. And let me tell you something, hurting people hurt people, amen? And some of you, there's probably someone that just the thought of them gets your blood to boil. Why are you all looking at me? But no, just the thought of them, maybe they said something that hurts you, and you haven't let it go. You're still holding on to it. You still have unforgiveness in your heart. And can I remind you that unforgiveness is the poison we drink hoping someone else will die? I did not make that up, but I read it once. And it's so true. When we hold on to unforgiveness in our heart, it's not hurting the other person. It's hurting us. So if the truth to be known, there is a lot of darkness in our world. First of all, there's moral darkness. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Now, that's our culture, right? In fact, in many ways, we are celebrating what God condemns. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. And because of that, a lot of parents and grandparents, they're concerned about the world that their children and grandchildren are growing up in. And then there's mental darkness. I talked about it a little bit earlier, but anxiety and depression and just other mental health challenges. You know, as most of you are aware, I wrote a book on mental health, and I'm actually teaching it tomorrow at North Central University. But in our culture, there's a lot of mental health challenges. In fact, in this process of doing interviews and stuff for the book, I was talking to a person who works a lot with farmers, and this really surprised me, but he said the number one struggle of farmers, I would have never guessed this, is mental health. And then I was talking to a physical therapist, and he was talking about how in his experience, it seems like the mental health crisis is becoming more and more prevalent. And maybe today, if the truth to be known, you're in a mental health darkness. And friends, I just want to say, I've been there. And we want to be a church that doesn't stigmatize or shame people with this kind of brokenness. Why do we live in a culture that stigmatizes certain kind of brokenness over the other? We're all broken. That's why we need Jesus. Amen? I just want to encourage you to get some help. Talk to someone. In fact, in Psalms chapter 88, verse 8, it says, "Darkness is my closest friend." Maybe you can relate to the psalmist. And then there's spiritual darkness. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but, you know, Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz said, we're not in Kansas anymore, right? And I just want to say we're not in Kansas anymore, or Mayberry, or Walnut Grove. Some of you remember those names. But we're actually living in what's called a post-Christian era. In fact, the Pew Research did some research. In 2007, about 78% of Americans identified as Christians. Today, that number is closer to 62. At the same time, they found that 30% of Americans now claim no religious identity at all. And there used to be a time when if you were a Christian, it kind of felt in America you were on home turf. But that's not the case anymore. Have any of you noticed that? And because of that, one of the things that I often tell our staff is that we have to think like missionaries. We, as pastors, and I just want to encourage you as followers of Christ and members of this church, that you need to think of yourself as a missionary, that you are a missionary cleverly disguised as a janitor, as an electrician, as a plumber, to share the good news of Jesus with the world. In fact, Haddon Robinson, who's a well-known Christian leader, said, "America has entered a post-Christian era, and from now on we're planning," are you listening? Say amen. "To train future pastors as foreign missionaries assigned to an alien culture." So I am a missionary cleverly disguised as a pastor. And we're all missionaries. And when you leave here today, God is sending you out into your mission field. Now, what would change in us, in me, in our church, if we started to see ourselves as missionaries? That if we started to see the church as a missions outpost? Now, today, as we've said already, there's about 30 people in Belize from our church that are going to spread the good news in Belize, and they're on a missions trip. And again, please pray for them. But what if we saw every day as a missions trip? As we went to our jobs, as we went to the neighborhood, as we went to the grocery store, as we went to the gym. Hey, this is a missions trip. I am going to spread the light of Christ. So one of the things we've talked about so far is our world is dark, and I think most of you would agree with that. Now, I want to caution us not to focus too much, though, on the darkness. One of the things that I see is some people, they watch all this news, all this conspiracy theory, all of this. And in reality, what's happening is they're being discipled by YouTube. They're being discipled by all this bad news, and then they come to church, and they're just defeated. And we have to be careful. Yes, we're not to put our head in the sand and ignore reality, but we're supposed to reflect the light. And if we're so focused on all of this stuff out here, we can start to feel like I did in that crawl space, just like the darkness is encroaching. The darkness is all around me. Yes, our world is dark. So where do we find the light? Well, Jesus answered that question with a statement. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Would you read that with me? "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, this is one of Jesus' famous I am statements. And in these statements, he basically is just saying, this is the essence of who I am. He says things like, "I am the bread of life. I am the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am a true vine, and I am the light of the world." Now, today we're obviously focusing on that last one, where Jesus says, in this darkness, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Now, one of the things that we talk about is when you study the Bible was not written yesterday. It's an ancient book. So one of the things that you need to try to do is to try to put yourself in the culture in which these words were written, right? And what you'll find is that when Jesus said the words, "I am the light of the world," it was actually during a time, scholars believe that it was actually during or after something called the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles was a joyful celebration when the people of Israel thanked God for the harvest. And they remembered how he protected them while they lived in temporary shelters during their 40 years in the wilderness. So during the Feast of Tabernacles, there would have been these huge lamps. And these lamps represented when the pillar of fire God used to guide Israel through the wilderness. In Exodus 13:21, it says, "By night, the Lord led them in a pillar of fire to give them light." So I want you to get the picture. It's this Feast of Tabernacles. There are these huge lamps. And Jesus uses this as a visual aid to point out a spiritual truth. He said, "I am the light of the world." in me there is no darkness. He used these lamps as a visual aid. He's like, you know, what you are remembering, the pillar of fire by night, is standing right in front of you. I am the light of the world. Yes, our world is dark. And in that darkness, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And here's the cool thing, that when you and I trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when you and I become born anew, when you and I surrender our life over to Christ, His light enters our soul. His light fills our being. 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory." Now, Paul is doing something interesting here. Is he's actually comparing salvation to the creation of the world. Think about the creation of the world when there was all darkness. And in that darkness, Genesis 3:1, God says, "Let there be light." Could you imagine that moment when the light shined in the darkness? And Paul's saying that's what happens at salvation, that just as in the darkness God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, when a person begins a relationship with God through Christ, the light is turned on in their hearts. In Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord." 1 Peter 2:9, "He called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." Colossians 1:13, "For He has rescued us from the dominion," isn't that an interesting word, "the dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves." I remember one time talking to this person, and they were just kind of like a vibrant light for Christ. They just radiated the light and the love of Christ wherever they went. And they shared with me what their salvation experience was like. And it was pretty interesting because they said that before they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it was kind of like living in black and white. Now, how many of you remember watching shows or movies in black and white, like John Wayne or something like that? How many of you, okay, you're older like me. And she said, "When I came to Christ, it was like my insides were black and white. But then after I gave my life to Christ, it was like the color was turned on." And now, today, we watch movies and shows in color. And I think that's a great example of how Christ shined His light into her heart. So today, we've kind of defined reality that our world is dark. Would you agree with that? But we've also defined a greater reality, and that is Christ is the light of the world. And when we are born anew, when we surrender our life over to Jesus Christ, when we've had that genuine born anew experience, God's light is in our hearts. Think about it. You and I are dwelling places of the light of Christ. Do you know what we're supposed to do with that light? We're called to share it with others. We're called now to reflect the light of Christ into our world. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus says, "You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Are you listening? Say amen. Because this is so important. Jesus is the source of the light. Christians reflect that light. Jesus is the source of the light. Christians reflect that light. A good example is, think about the moon. You know, when you're out and you see the moon, did you know the moon does not produce its own light? It simply reflects the light of the sun. So here on earth, we just see the reflection of the sun off the moon. And in a similar way, Jesus is the light, and as Christians, we reflect the light, and the world around us sees Jesus through our reflection. I'm looking at the light of the world. The light of the world. The dwelling places of the Holy Spirit. I am looking at the light of the world. Now, you know, one of the things that many people struggle with is boredom. They struggle with a lack of purpose, a lack of, especially maybe as they get older, one time their job gave them purpose, or taking care of the kids gave them purpose, and now it's like, what is my purpose? And I want to tell you what your purpose is. Your purpose is to reflect the light of Christ wherever you go. You know, I remember reading this article many years ago on traits of effective people. And basically they said that effective people make it a habit of doing things that ineffective people don't like to do. Now, here's the thing. They don't like to do it either, but they have a higher purpose that propels them to do it. How does that relate to us as Christians? You know, living a Christ-like life in our world, living for Christ, witnessing, serving, those are hard things. But why do we do it? The higher purpose of reflecting the light of Christ wherever we go. You are the light of the world. So Jean Morris was a single mother with two kids. She worked as a waitress in a restaurant to provide for her family. And one day she was having a bad day. Now, how many of you have ever had a bad day? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like every Monday or whatever, you're just kind of having a bad day. And so she's this waitress, and all of a sudden in the back of the restaurant, she sees this elderly lady all by herself that just seems really melancholy. She looked like she had the weight of the world on her shoulders. So Jean went up to her and was nice to her and served her tea and kind of just talked with this elderly lady. And afterwards, this elderly lady kind of pushed herself through the crowd and went up to Jean and gave her a 10-cent tip. And as the lady walked away, Jean simply said, "Thank you and God bless." At that moment, the elderly lady just broke into tears. And she talked about how that morning she had prayed that God would send a Christian into her life because her husband of 50 years had just been diagnosed with cancer and they didn't know if he was going to make it. And as that lady left, that elderly lady left, Jean had a revived sense of purpose. And she's like, "That's right, I'm here on this planet to let the light of Christ shine through me." What if that became our attitude as we went to work tomorrow? Whether you're a plumber, a doctor, a farmer, a janitor, a pastor, whatever, it's like, hey, I'm here to reflect the light of Christ. And some of us work in dark places. Yes, it's very dark where we work. What if God put you there to be a light? What if you're there to reflect the light of Christ in that situation? You say, "My workplace is so dark. My school is so dark. My family is so broken." Hey, light shines brightest in dark places. Light shines brightest in dark places. And maybe Christ has put you in that darkness, that Christ has put you in that difficult place to reflect the light of Christ there. One time a college student was walking across the college campus and someone behind called out her name, but she was kind of having a difficult day and she just kind of ignored it and kept walking. But this person didn't quit. And finally the person came up to her and invited her to a Bible study. And she's like, "No, I'm busy. I'm not really interested." But this person wouldn't let it go and almost like forced her to come with her. So this lady went to the Bible study with this other person, and at that Bible study she began to learn that God loved her. She began to experience the love of God in her heart. And actually that night, this college student prayed to receive Jesus Christ into her heart, and her life was changed. But here's the backstory. That young lady, as she was walking across the campus, was on her way to commit suicide. That was her plan. But God used the simple invitation of a believer to shine light into her heart. You know, all year we've been talking about the open chair. They represent the open chairs in heaven. They represent the open chairs. And think about it, just a simple invitation that you give. You don't know what's going on in the other person's life. You know, I remember one time talking to a person at church here, and they say, when someone hurts you, don't ask what's wrong with them, ask what happened to them. And we just never know what's going on in another person's life. And think about it, your invitation to the light could literally save someone's life spiritually or physically. Yes, our world is dark, but Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when we become born anew, that light lives within us. But we're not to keep it to ourselves, we're to share it with others. You are the light of the world. And then in Revelations 21, 23, it says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Now, this is talking about the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city that comes down from God after the final judgment. And this is John's vision of the new heaven and the new earth, where God will live with his people forever. And one of the realities of this New Jerusalem is there won't need to be a sun or a moon. Why? Because God himself will provide the light. What would change if you and I began to understand we're the light of the world? Instead of just cursing the darkness, let's be a light. You know, a lot of people like to complain a lot. How many of you know someone who likes to complain? Complainers will always find something to complain about. Worshippers will always find something to thank God for. Complaining is not a spiritual gift, by the way. We are called to share the light of Christ with our world. You say, how do I do that? Let me just give you five simple ideas. Number one, spend time with Jesus each day. Oh, yes. That's so important because he, as you spend time with him, he shares his light with you. Get into the Bible, pray, say, Holy Spirit, fill me as you're driving to Rochester to go to work. Lord, fill me with your light so that I can reflect it throughout the day. You know, on Wednesday night, I was at our Bible fellowship, and I just want to remind you that throughout the week, we have all these Bible fellowships and process groups, and it's never too late to join, by the way. You can join at any time, and I just want to challenge you that if you've never really gotten involved in a Bible fellowship, in my opinion, you don't know what you're missing. They're just fantastic, and this week in our Bible fellowship, one of our people there talked about how they were at a difficult place in work, and their response would have been to respond in anger, to respond in contempt. But then they asked this question, how would Jesus respond? And they responded with light. And that is a great example of responding and sharing the light wherever you are. Reflect Christ through small acts of kindness. Imagine if you were one of a kind because you were so kind. Did you know that kindness is love in action? And often it's just the simple things, listening to a coworker, checking on a neighbor, showing patience in a stressful situation. Here's another thing, speak words that bring life. Did you know the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue? Harmful words create hurtful memories. Are your words a part of God's building crew or Satan's wrecking crew? Imagine if you used your words to share encouragement, not criticism. Hope instead of negativity. Truth instead of lies. Again, we've talked about this earlier, but invite someone to church or a Bible study. You know, we have something in a few weeks called Easter. How many of you have ever heard of it? Okay. Did you know that this is, you know, Christmas and Easter is one of the times each year when even folks that would normally not go to church, they're interested in going. And often it's just a personal invitation. Holy Spirit, reveal to us right now someone who you want us to just invite. And let me tell you something. You do the invitation, you leave the outcome to God. The outcome's in God's hands. Your job is to just make the invitation. And then here's the final one. I want you to encourage you to ask yourself this question every day this week. How can I reflect the light of Christ in this situation? Would you say that with me? How can I reflect the light of Christ in this situation? Imagine if that question guided how we acted at work, how we acted in our neighborhood, how we acted in our home. How can I reflect the light of Christ in that situation? Yes, our world is dark. Yes, your work may be dark. Yes, your neighborhood may be dark. Yes, our community may be dark. That's why we're here, is to reflect the light of Christ, to not join in the darkness, because light shines brightest in dark places. Yes, our world is dark. And in that darkness, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when we become born anew, his light comes into our hearts. And then we're to reflect that light to the world. How can I reflect the light of Christ in this situation? Let us pray. Father God, I want to pray for anyone today that is in a personal dark situation. God, whether it's morally, whether it's mentally, relationally, they would just say, God, I'm in a dark place. Like the Psalms. One of the things I love about the Bible, by the way, is it encourages us to be honest, not fake. Psalms is a great example of that. Darkness is my closest friend. And see, often just acknowledging the truth is the first step to find healing. And if that's you, just pray, dear Jesus, shine your light in my heart. Expel the darkness. Lord, thank you that you are the light of the world. God, thank you that as believers, we are dwelling places of your Holy Spirit, that we have the light of Christ within us. God, give us a renewed sense of purpose and mission and higher reason for being, that as we go to school, as we go to work, as we leave this facility, that we're your missionaries. God, I pray that you would use us to build your eternal kingdom. And Lord, remind us of the new heavens and the new earth, that one day as believers that we will be in a place where you yourself are the light. And we just look forward to that brightness being in your presence forever. But help us to bring the most amount of people with us as we can. Oh God, I just pray that you would use our church not to curse the darkness, but to be a light, to reflect your light in this community, this county, this country, for your glory. We're going to now move into our time of tithes and offerings. In James 1:5, it says, God who gives to all men generously. And then in Chronicles, it says, everything we have comes from you, Lord, and we only give you what is yours already. Let us pray. Lord, you are a generous God who gives freely to all people. Help us to remember that everything we have comes from you. Teach us to give with grateful hearts. As we give to your work, make us more like you and fill us with your love and generosity. Amen. So the ushers will come in a few moments to receive your tithes and offerings. We're also going to be putting on the screens some of the ways that you can give generously or digitally. Thank you so much. It's your giving that helps us be a light in this world. Do a little pivot here. So want you to take out your phones. Would you do that? I know none of you have been looking at them during the service. So take them out of your, you know, hiding and turn on the light. Turn on the light of your phones. We're going to do like a Christmas Eve thing. And can you guys do the first chorus again? And can you turn the lights off back there? And we're just going to sing that again. And I want to just encourage you this week to be reminded of this light on your phone, that you are the light of the world. So
light of the world, you step down.
Oh God, thank you that you are the light of the world. God, help us to just reflect your light wherever we go. Whatever situation we're facing, help us to pause and say, Holy Spirit, how can I best reflect your light in this situation? Well, friend, we're going to have friends up here to pray with you. If you'd like someone to pray with you, now may you go in the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, Amen. Have a great week. Like, oh.